nation deserving our support, and we appreciate you coming this morning and speaking to us. And for a non-preacher, you did pretty good. We appreciate that, and I'm sure the saints here at Northgate Chapel appreciate the Gideons. Also, the Word of God is going out throughout the world, and we're thankful for that. This morning, I was, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to start there this morning. This is a two-part message. What we don't get through this morning, we'll pick it up tonight at 6:30. And what I'd like to speak about this morning and tonight is the I Am statements in the Gospel of John of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be wondering, well, Earl, if we're supposed to be in the Gospel of John, what are we doing in Exodus right here? Well, we're going to start in Exodus because I Am is mentioned in this chapter. This is the first mention of I Am, God as being I Am, in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to continue on through the Gospel of John. And tonight we'll continue on with that. The I Am statements of the Lord Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door to the sheep. And there's two or three more in there, and we're going to cover as many as we can this morning and tonight. But I'd like to start reading in Exodus chapter 3. You start reading at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. In this particular passage, you know, you recall what was going on, that the Moses caught sight of a bush that was burning, but it was not being consumed. The bush had flames coming forth, but the bush itself was not burning up. And God was, of course, was trying to get Moses' attention. Moses came up to the burning bush, and the Lord and Moses had a dialogue with one another. And God commissioned Moses to bring his children out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. God had chosen Moses to be the leader of the children of Israel and to bring them out of slavery. And in this conversation, in verse 13, Moses asked the Lord, Well, Lord, you know, when I come back and go back to Egypt, what am I supposed to tell the people? What is your name? And the Lord said in verse 14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. You know, in this particular passage, God was not revealing his glory to Moses, but he was explaining to Moses who he was. And it's interesting that God used this phrase, I am, because, you know, our God exists in a way that no one and nothing else does. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the only being that is self-existent. He has what we might, what theologians might say as an uncaused existence. God is not some sort of, however, he is not some sort of abstract being. We have a personal God. Francis Schaeffer, some of you have heard of him, referred to God as the infinite personal God. God is infinite, he's unlimited, yet he is a personal God. God was speaking to Moses out of the burning bush and revealing to Moses, the future leader of Israel, who he was, who God was. And we understand that God is the active, personal God who is he's involved in every detail of our everyday existence. There is nothing in our life, nothing in this world that escapes God's attention. Nothing. He knows everything. He understands everything. He is our God. He is not an impersonal, abstract being. He is a personal God. And we understand that because God came to us one time in the form of a human being in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus Christ embodied all of who God is. And what the Lord was trying to communicate to Moses also in this passage is that he was the only one true God in the universe. You know, there are people in the world, and I'm sure our brother has been to Africa, and he could attest to this. There are people worshiping many gods today. If you were to go to the country of India, you would find out that the Hindu religion, they have millions of gods, millions of gods. Can you imagine? But God, the God of the Bible, revealed himself to Moses. He has revealed himself to the world through the person of Jesus Christ, that he is the one true God. There is no more. There is no other God before him. And in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself in the Gospel of John through these I am statements. Well, let's turn first of all to John. Let's go to John chapter 6. This morning, and let's take a look at verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Drop down to verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he had said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And verse 48 reads, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. In verse 35, we see that the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, there are people out there today, they are hungering and thirsting for all sorts of things. People are hungering and thirsting after sexual lust, after fame, notoriety, riches, possessions, power. And the people will expend their energy, their time, their money, their wealth in pursuit of all these things. Thinking, well, you know, if I just had enough wealth, if I just had enough money, if I just had enough possessions, if I just had enough power, I'll be happy and satisfied in my life. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says, none of that is true. You're not going to satisfy yourself by pursuing these things. There's none of those things can satisfy spiritual hunger. There is only one person who could bring spiritual satisfaction into our lives. That is the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it also in verse 35, he that cometh to me, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, if people come to the bread of life, they will find that their spiritual hunger will be totally and completely satisfied. And in verse 48, the Lord compares himself, or in verse 49, he said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The Lord compares himself with the manna that the Israelites ate in the desert. And you recall that God, when he got released the Israelites from bondage and slavery in Egypt, we had about 2 or 3 million people who came into the desert. They had nothing except what they could carry with them. They had no food or no water except what they could carry with them. And pretty soon, those things ran out. And pretty soon the children of Israel had no food. And they were out in the middle of the desert. They had no water to drink. But God provided for his people. He provided manna for the children of Israel to eat. They harvested it every morning. God provided water for his people to drink on a regular basis. So the children of Israel neither starved nor died of thirst in the desert. God provided that for them. But you know, manna was a temporary method of preventing hunger and starvation in the wilderness. In verse 50, the Lord Jesus says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." You know, if one would eat of the bread of life, they wouldn't die. They would have eternal life. And Jesus used this metaphor of eating bread for believing and trusting in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. In verse 51, He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." He said, "If any man eats of this bread, he will live forever." And that's the Lord's promise to Lord's promise of eternal life to all those who trust in Him. You know, if we're hungry, we need food. I get hungry about at least three times a day. Most of the time, more, unfortunately. But we're not going to go into that. But you know, we eat food. You know, our body needs nourishment. You know, that's the way God created us. We need nourishment, and God has given us food for nourishment, so our bodies won't run down. But you know, we'll get hungry again. Once we finish a meal, sometime later on, we're going to get hungry again. Our body is going to tell us, "Listen, it's time to eat again." But when we feed upon the bread of life, on the other hand, in contrast to physical food, if we feed upon the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ will satisfy our spiritual hunger forever. Forever. There is no person or no thing who could satisfy spiritual hunger like the person of Jesus Christ. And people in the world today are pursuing all sorts of things, thinking that, well, you know, if I just get this thing, if I just can grab hold of and touch and have enough of this particular thing, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be satisfied in my life. But you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ is the only one who could satisfy our hunger, our spiritual hunger. He is the only one that God has provided who can provide spiritual life and spiritual satisfaction to us. Let's move on to John chapter 8, for another statement that the Lord Jesus made in verse 12. In John 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be the light of the world, to be spiritual light in the world. You know, there are a lot of imposters out there who claim that they can give the world spiritual enlightenment, but Jesus Christ claims to be the true spiritual light. And it's interesting that imposters have popped up over the years in the world, not only in our country, but other countries around the world over the years, claiming to have something special that they can give to people, spiritual light or spiritual life. I would like to ask these imposters, do they have the power to forgive sin? Do they have the power to give eternal life? On what or whose authority should we believe them? You know, I was listening to the radio, and by the way, there are people in the world today who are not saved, who are outside of Christ, and they are seeking spiritual truth. They are seeking spiritual light. There's no doubt about that. And last week I was listening to the radio. I tuned in a talk show. I do that every now and then for entertainment purposes. But I was listening to the radio, and this man was saying over here at Duke University next weekend, at the J.B. Ryan Center. Now, for those of you who have never heard of J.B. Ryan, he discovered ESP, extrasensory perception, some years ago. And he said people can communicate with each other with their minds and all this kind of stuff. And over at J.B. Ryan Center next weekend on the campus of Duke, there's going to be a conference there. Most of the people at this conference underwent what they would call near-death experiences. And this guy was saying, well, you know, there's going to be people there who almost died, but right before they died, they saw this light, this beautiful, bright light. They felt the love of God envelop them. They had these warm, fuzzy little feelings came over them. And one guy called in, he said, you know, these people who had these near-death experiences, did any of them ever see flames and feel some heat? when they came in, you know. That would have been my question. And the guy said, well, you know, no, the overwhelming majority of people don't see that or feel that. They just see this bright light. They feel God's love. Sometimes some people have even seen God in these experiences. And, you know, I was thinking about that, that these people are getting together at this conference. And you know, brothers, sisters in Christ, these people are being deluded. They're being deceived. And, you know, the Apostle Paul said that Satan will appear as an angel of light. Satan's ministers will appear as ministers of righteousness. And these people are being deceived by these type of things. But, you know, I was thinking about that after I heard, you know, cut the radio off, started reading this passage about I am the light of the world. Started thinking, you know, there's probably some people over there next weekend at Duke who are really and sincerely and genuinely seeking spiritual truth, spiritual light. There's probably some people over there. And, you know, I don't doubt that these people had the experience that they said they had. I don't doubt that. The only thing that I would tell them is that this experience didn't come from God. It didn't come from the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not reveal himself to people like that. But, you know, people are looking in the world. They are looking for spiritual light. They're looking for spiritual truth. Unfortunately, Satan has manufactured a counterfeit for people. And he's put that counterfeit out to people, saying this is true spiritual life. And I imagine if you talk to those people, they'll tell you, well, you know, I had this incredible experience. I saw this wonderful light. I felt these incredible feelings and emotions and all that kind of stuff. And they're hanging on to this experience. And they're thinking, well, you know, I have found true spiritual life in my life. And there's nothing else out there that can compare to this experience. And they want to put their faith and trust in the experience. They don't understand that Jesus Christ, the Lord, can provide true, genuine spiritual light. He is the only one who can do it. The only one. You can't find true spiritual light in some experience like these people had. The only experience that God wants us to have is that day, that minute, that hour, we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe that it was His sacrifice on the cross for our sins, and through that sacrifice, we are pardoned of all our sins, and we have genuine, real, eternal life. And you don't get that through an experience of seeing light and feeling some warm, fuzzy emotions. You just don't get that through that. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, I am the light of the world. There is no other spiritual light in the world save the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, let's turn to chapter 1 just for a few minutes. Time's going to run out, but I'd like to discuss this. Chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witnesses of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In verse 9, we see that Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. He is the perfect, genuine light of the world. He embodies that true, perfect, genuine spiritual light. And he is the only one who can. And, you know, as I said, there are people searching. Many people are desperately searching for spiritual truth and spiritual light. And they must go, if they're going to find true spiritual light, they must go to the source of that light. And that is the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, it says that the world knew him not. Now, that word knew means having a personal relationship with someone. You know, I've seen the President of the United States on TV. I've heard his words on the radio. I've seen his picture in newspapers and magazines, but I've never met the President. I don't have a personal relationship with him. Yet there are people in the world who say, oh, yes, I've heard of Jesus. Many of those people would say, yeah, I've heard that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I've heard that Jesus paid the penalty or died for my sins. People have heard about Jesus Christ, but they don't know Him personally. They don't have a personal relationship with Him. My question to you tonight is, or this morning is, do you have a personal relationship with the person of Jesus Christ? You must ask yourself that question. And, you know, in the world, it says in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And in verse 11, He came unto His own. He came unto His own creation, and His own did not receive Him. His own did not welcome Him. His own didn't even know Him. How sad, how tragic that is. And we have to ask ourselves a question. Before we were saved, we didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God had to open our eyes and our mind and our hearts and with the Word of God and show us that we were in spiritual darkness, and to show us that the true light was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the true light came into the world of the ones He created, and they didn't know Him, and they didn't welcome Him. But in verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." You know, if we receive and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we'll become children of God. You know, there are a lot of imitators and counterfeits out there who claim to be children of God. Some cults have called themselves the children of God, but they're phonies, they're fakes. If you'd ask them, you know, well, how do I become a child of God? Well, you've got to join our cult and bring a couple $1,000s with you, and you can live with us and be with us, and you'll be a child of God. Well, you know, that's salvation by works. That's not going to work. Salvation by works never works. You know, if we're going to become children of God, if we want to find the true light of the world, we must place our faith and trust in the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the light of the world." He is the true light of the world. And there's one more verse in chapter 12 that we'll take a look at. Chapter 12, verse 35, before we're through. "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light." You know, the word "walk" here means that if we continue to live by the light as believers, as Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ will guide us. He will direct us. He will help us. He provides true spiritual light for His people. That's us. If we've accepted and trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we're His children. He will take care of us. He will provide the spiritual light and the spiritual life that we all need. There are people walking and stumbling around into darkness out there. There are people going to be at the J.B. Ryan Center next weekend walking in spiritual darkness. They think they've found spiritual light. They've been deceived and deluded into believing by Satan, into believing that what they really experienced was from God. You know, we have to tell people like that the truth about the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the one and only true spiritual life. There is no other in the world today. And we'll pick it up again tonight. Let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You so much that You are indeed the bread of life, that You are indeed the light of the world. And we know, Father, this morning that we have partaken of that bread. We have seen that true light in the person of our Savior. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that instructs us and teaches us. We pray, Father, that those of the ones this morning hearing Your Word taught and instructed, that You will help them understand it, that the Spirit of God will take these words and minister to each need and each heart. We thank You for that most wonderful of all persons, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the true light of the world. We pray and end our meeting in His holy name. Amen. John.
Close with just the chorus. in the Chorus Books again. Number 36, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. But I was thinking mainly about that third line. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. These are all mentioned in John. And all will be, hopefully, in the study both between tonight, today and tonight. So let's stand and sing verse number 36 in the Chorus Books, and the meeting will be dismissed.